Let's just start our service this evening with a word of prayer, and let's seek God's face in prayer. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we come humbly, reverently into thy presence this evening. And Lord, we thank thee tonight that we can say that thou art our God. We thank the Lord tonight for each one that's redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. We thank the Lord tonight that we draw nigh unto the great God of heaven and earth through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Lord tonight for the glorious message of the gospel. We thank the Lord tonight that we can come and proclaim a message that is alive, and Lord, a message that transforms. And Heavenly Father, we pray that this night you will be pleased to take thy word, Lord, through the ministry and song, the word of testimony, and Lord, the message from thy word. Use it all, Lord, to thine honor and to thy glory. Speak to the lost. Bring many to thyself, O God, we pray. And do a good thing, a blessed thing, even in our midst tonight. Save sinners, we pray. Take them out, Lord, of the darkness of their sin, and bring them into new life in Jesus Christ. Take to thyself all the glory, for thou alone art worthy. Hear and answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to commence this evening by singing that well-known, lovely hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The words will be on your screen. If you have a copy of our own hymn book, it's 311. We'll keep our seats as we prayer and seek God's face for this meeting tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that we have a song to sing. We rejoice, O God, tonight that he hath put a new song into our mouth, even praise unto our God. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for each one in this meeting who's saved. We thank the Lord for that moment when you lifted us up out of the dirt and the mire of sin, and you placed our feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus. You established our goings. And Lord, we thank thee tonight. Lord, that we are thine. Lord, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed. Lord, we have a message to proclaim. Realize, O God, tonight that there will be many. And Lord, they will tell of their own imaginations. They will tell of their own thoughts. But Lord, we thank thee tonight that the message that we have to proclaim is a real word. It's a living message. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even through the messages and song tonight, the word of testimony, the message from thy word, Lord, we pray, Lord, that sinners will be gripped with that message. Lord, that they'll hear that effectual call. And Lord, that tonight, by irresistible grace, they'll be brought to thee. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll drive back the forces of hell, defeat every plan and purpose of Satan for this gospel meeting. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll cover us in the blood tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that the devil has no answer to the blood. And therefore, O God, we claim the blood of Jesus Christ afresh this evening for our cleansing. Lord, we pray that you'll bless each one who's been enabled to gather with us this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll keep your hand upon us, encourage us, bless us. We pray, Lord, for every one of thy dear children. Lord, may we know what it is to walk with thee, and Lord, to go on with thee, even in these days in which we live. And Heavenly Father, we pray especially tonight for those who are still out of Christ, far from thee. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll speak. Speak with that voice that wakes the dead. Bring them to thyself, O God, we pray. Do a new thing we ask of thee. Save the lost. Snatch them as a brand from the burning this evening, we ask. We pray, Lord, tonight that you'll bless all that would take place in this meeting. We pray, Lord, you'll remember especially Robbie and Philip as they would come and minister to us in song. Encourage them. Lord, may they know great help from heaven this evening, we pray. Bless Robbie, Lord, as he would tell us of what the Lord has done for him in his life. And Lord, we thank thee tonight. It is no secret what God can do. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as, Lord, those who are in the meeting, those tuning in by way of the broadcast tonight, Lord, as they hear the word of testimony, as they hear the message, Lord, speak to souls, save, O God, we pray. Build up the church of Jesus Christ, and Lord, do it to thy glory and to all of thine honor. So, Lord, take control of this meeting tonight, we pray. We ask, O God, that you'll come. Breathe upon us, O Lord, from heaven. Lord, we pray that we might hear that sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Come upon us, we pray, and pour out your Spirit upon us. This evening we ask, in the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. This evening we are delighted to welcome Robbie. You're very welcome, Robbie, to Sandown tonight. And that fella that you've got beside you, he's welcome back again. We all know Philip, and we're glad to have him tonight as well. So we're going to ask you to come. You're going to sing a few pieces, and then you're going to tell us of the Lord's dealing in your life. So the Lord bless you both. Very, very welcome. And you come now and sing for us. Thank you.
Maybe I should say I'm really glad to be here this evening. As I listened to your service last Sunday evening, I got a real blessing. And I trust tonight, as we tell you something about the Saviour, you're in the meeting tonight without him, that this will be the night when you'll trust him as your own personal Saviour. Thank you for inviting us. This man beside me needs no introduction because he's all over the globe singing. And him and Victoria, the singer you had last week, what a beautiful singer. So I trust that you'll enjoy what we have to say this evening. Thank you very much.
I started for the kingdom. Since my life he controlled, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Serve him the sweet. each day's like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the longer I serve Him, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows.
I'll talk a wee bit.
You're never done talking.
It's a great joy for Foster and Alan to be here tonight.
They're my favourite singers.
You're not allowed to admit that in here. But it's lovely for...
I'm allowed to do it here, am I?
Well, that's all right. I suppose when you reach a certain age, you're allowed to do anything. But it's lovely to be here, Robbie and me. This is the first time we've ever sort of sung... Yeah, in a church environment, other than your CD launch, which we'll no doubt get to. But it's lovely to be here, and Reverend Wilson has asked me just to give you a little update. In recent months, the Lord's really been leading in my life, in my wife's life, and something I never imagined I would say, but Kilray Baptist Church, I've been preaching there a lot since last year, and they issued a call to me a number of weeks ago. My wife and I accepted that last Monday. So I'll not be about Sandown much more in the future. I might get back the odd time if Mr. Wilson lets me. If he lets a Baptist in to sing, maybe. But I know, but we'll not let that go out. So that's where I'm at, and I mightn't be just back as much, because I think Mr. Wilson used to have me every quarter. I feel very sorry for you people having to listen to that, but that's where I'm going to be up in Kilray. So if you're ever about Kilray Baptist, please feel free to drop in. We might have a chorus leader up there too, in Mr. Hare, but we'll see if we can get him relocated from Lurgan. But lovely to be here and just to sing a few songs for you tonight. Our next song, that song that we did first... I got Robbie into church one time over lockdown, and he was convinced he couldn't sing to these backing tracks. And I said, no, I think you could do it. Like, I can do it. Anybody can do it. And I set up my phone and recorded him without telling him. And within about two or three takes, Robbie had it perfect. And we put it out online, and he got a few views. You're relatively popular in Lurgan, so... He could do it, and then he went on to do a CD, but we'll maybe talk about that later. But the next song we're going to do is Redeemed. Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Just back one. That's you.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy waste, no rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child and forever I am. Shall see in his beauty the King in whose way I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his child.
So you said earlier, you're here to give a wee bit of a word of testimony.
That's right.
Turn off the reverb, that's our secret. So you said earlier if we took 1 minute for each year of your life, we'd be out in about an hour and a half.
Well I don't know. 92 is not that big of a thing. Is it really a big age?
I don't know. Keep that wee mic up. That's you. These lovely people need to hear you. So, as you know, Robbie, whenever I used to sing with Solid Ground, we used to go to Lurgan Baptist and sing, and this guy here used to run and jump into the pulpit, like literally jump, and I always used to think, I have to get to know that guy. So whenever my wife and I started to attend Lurgan, I did get to know him a bit, and I might have regretted that. We're here tonight. But Robbie, just tell me a little bit about yourself. If you want to give away your age, you can, and sort of maybe your early years on this planet Earth.
Well, I was born on the 27th of July, 1929. There you are. And I'm actually, this is a wonderful saying, I tell people this, I'm actually living in the house that I was born in. Mm. Right. You know all about that.
It looks it to you.
Yes, because when my mother was expecting me, somehow or other, she landed up in my granny's house. And that's the house that I'm living in now, it was my granddad and granny's house. It was actually an ex-soldier's cottage, and the men that went to war in the 1914-18 mm-hmm. war, they got these houses when they came home from the war, and that's how I was born in that house. I was born on the 27th of July, and I'm still living in that house. I could bring you up into the bedroom where I was actually born. So that's a wee bit, is that not a wee bit of, what do you call it?
That's unique, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And what did you work at, that sort of thing, whenever you were old enough, 12, 13, to get a job?
I was a transport manager in a textile firm in Lurgan, Clan Innings, who were a print works. They printed all the furnishing fabrics and all that, you see, your curtains, one thing and all. And I was responsible for all the transport went in and out of the factory. I was 52 years in that factory. So.
Are they still in business?
No, they're not. No. They were actually located on a bad end of the town, so they were down near Kilwilkie. If anybody knew where Kilwilkie was, it's way down on the far end of Lurgan, and it's a notorious place. And yet, all the years that I went down there to work, the boys in that district always looked after me. Many's the night we went down, and the snipers were on the roof shooting at the soldiers on the night shift. And the boys made sure that I got home And I always remember them for that. And they were wonderful people down there, and they weren't all what people said they were, but it's just like everything else, it was bad on both sides. So.
And then if we go forward a little bit, I'm going to read just from John chapter 14. John 14, and the first six verses, you'll be very familiar with it. But you'll know why I'm reading these verses in a wee moment. But John 14, verse 1 says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do you want to tell us just why that verse in particular, verse 6, is so special to you?
You see, for by working as a transport manager in the factory that I told you about there, I took a part-time job in a public house in Lurgan, in Queen Street in Lurgan. And it probably was the downfall of me, but I worked in that pub for many years. And one particular Monday night after the weekend, I came down and I went into they had a back bar in the pub. And somehow now I made my way down into that place that Monday night. And I went up to the counter, and the man that owned the bar was a Roman Catholic, Joey McCann, I called him. And I asked him for a drink of beer, and I was drinking the beer, and there was a man standing beside me. And just all of a sudden, the back door of that back bar opened and two Salvation Army girls came in. And one of the girls I knew lived beside me. And one of them handed me a little leaflet, and it said, "Oh, this is Life Crusade." It was a mission that was going to be conducted in High Street Presbyterian Church, and the speaker was Stephen Alford. Now, Stephen Alford married a girl from Lurgan, but he had a big church in America, and he came over to take this mission. And as I was standing at that bar there, I heard somebody say to him, and I don't know where the voice was, saying, "Sue, you haven't got life. You're standing here tonight, you have not life." And the owner of the bar was on the side of the counter, and he said to me, "Boy, what's wrong with you tonight?" He says, "Jimmy, I don't know, I think God's speaking to me tonight. Just out of the blue. I don't know where that came from." And you know what he said to me? He says, "If God was speaking to me, I think I would do something about it." So the man standing beside me, he says, "My wife sings in the choir there. And if you want to go to that mission tomorrow night," that was on a Tuesday night, "you come down, you can go with her." I said, "Hey, fair play to you. I'll be down tomorrow night." I went home that night, got up the next morning and went to the factory. And I went up for my break and I pulled out a packet of cigarettes and I lit the cigarette and it burned the tongue off me. And I threw the cigarette away. I had the packet of cigarettes in my hand and I gave it to a wee Roman Catholic fellow standing beside me. He says, "Hey, there's a pack." I should have threw them in the bin, I suppose. But I gave it to him and he said, "There's a packet of cigarettes. I'll not need them anymore." Now, why did I talk like that? Was that God speaking to me? So I went that night, and what did the preacher take for his text? Life. And that night I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Of course, welfare was round the factory. He'd never keep that. That totally has no notion of keeping it. But here we were tonight, 62 and a half years, maybe, or something, since that happened.
Over 60 years since the Lord saved you and he's kept you.
That's right.
And whenever a Christian or somebody gets saved, that's not the end of the story, it's only the beginning.
That is right.
And the Lord was very good to you, and you met a young lady.
I sure did.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your wife and then maybe church life and family?
I should say something about that, about the footballers of all the Irish League clubs coming up to, when they come up to Lurgan to play Glenavon. The owner of the bar, Jimmy McCann, would have made sausages and all for them. And they all congregated in the bar. And for some unknown reason, they got me to sing every night they were there. Motherhood was Cliftonville, Crusaders, Linfield, didn't really matter. And you know the piece that I picked to sing, it was on the Hit the Parade that night, both the hymns and the, what was the piece?
It Is No Secret.
It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And I sang that every night them supporters came up. What did you ask me there a minute ago about my wife? Yes, I was at a male voice choir in Lurgan, and every now and again they held a big meeting of all the choirs in the north of Ireland. It was held in Belfast here too, in Tupmore Hall and all around. And this particular night it was in Hill Street Presbyterian Church in Lurgan. And it was on Saturday night. We were singing on Saturday night, and there was a preacher there who was singing on Sunday night. And after the meeting on Sunday night, I was outside at the church, and there was a girl who used to go to church called Helena Ruddle. Now, she's just probably listening to this at night. She's in a home up in Black Skull there. And Helena introduced me to this girl. I knew the girl because when we were so young, we always run about, and we went to the Bible class, and maybe went to the church, and then we went to the chip shop afterwards, and there was a group of people just to see what happens down here. And so that night, I walked this girl home to Donaldstown. I said, it's a good, I don't know how, I really don't know how I walked it there and back again. But anyway, I walked it there. And you know what I was thinking today? I didn't even ask her out that night. I never even asked her.
Must have worked.
It must have worked. Well, anyway, I met her anyway. We started to go together. She was a district nurse and midwife in Lurgan. And unfortunately, she took Alzheimer's. And 9 years ago, the Lord took her home. And I have a sorrow for people today who have lost loved ones. And maybe sitting in the house, and maybe their wife has gone to glory. Well, Mother's Day doesn't seem like it should be, but that's the way I felt today. But apart from that, God seemed to come into the room today and say, what are you worried about? She's just in heaven today, and I've given you the grace to do what you're going to do. So quit worrying, because she's in a better place. Mm. But she's a wonderful woman. And she gave me two sons, one's David and one's Peter. And the two of the loveliest boys that ever walked the Sheila have looked after me, both them and their wives have looked after me down through the years since my wife parted. And I pay tribute to them tonight. What I call them, you would know Peter better than David. And I'm glad I have the two boys. And they're all what I need. And another thing too, some people have the idea that they're afraid. They're afraid. I rang a man up one day, two or three weeks ago there, and he hasn't come out of the house since this thing happened. Yeah. Never come out of the house. People down here are not like that. I wouldn't think so.
I don't know.
Well, I believe, I'm going to tell you, if there's anything bad coming my way, it has to pass God before it reaches me. So that's what I believe. I get told off in Lurgan for that, my mother.
It's a good job I'm leaving Lurgan now. You say what you want. So a nice wee segue there to Lurgan Baptist. So how did you fall in with the folks at Lurgan Baptist, and how long have you been a member?
Well, when I got saved, the boys that were going to the Bible, we had a powerful Bible class. I'm sure some of the oldest people would know Mr. Wollen had the Bible class in. And it was terrific. You could have sat for 2 hours and listened to him. But we had that Bible class, and I don't know. What did you ask me there?
How did you join Lurgan Baptist?
Church. Yeah. Well, tell you what. One night, Mr. Mullen was taking the Bible class, and usually when he's on believer's baptism, I have a word maybe I shouldn't mention here, but no matter. And I don't see any tank here on me, so I don't bring one. Sorry about that, what are you joking? The thing is, Mr. Mullen was preaching that night, and they were going to have a baptismal service in 2 weeks' time. And this is the way he brought it out. I've never seen it as plain in my life before. He says you get saved, and you get baptized, and you join the church. So I got saved in March. I got baptized in March. But I joined the church in March. So there you are, within the church ever since. I threatened to leave it, man, again, but no matter.
And how many years have you been a deacon now?
Right about 40 or something.
Longer than I've been on the planet. So I have to say, I don't mean to interject your testimony, but you've been a very good help to me whenever I came on as a deacon a year and a bit ago. I learned a lot from you, what not to do, what to do.
Well, I'd have to admit tonight I have met many people down through my life's journey. And I've met two special people. And she's not here tonight. Victoria's not here tonight. But you and Victoria became special friends to me. And I always remember you until the Lord calls me home. So I'm sorry for your going because I'll miss you. But you'll have to come down and help me sometimes.
Absolutely. Moving on before I start crying. So you obviously love the old hymns. Mrs. Graham, thanks for playing those tonight.
I can't understand people playing these new hymns. I've got into more rows. The music's bad, but the words, they don't even make sense. It's just like the jazz, they sing the songs on the radio. And I stick to the old hymns. They don't like me for it sometimes. But to the day I die, I'll stick to them. So you keep on playing them to you.
And your love of those old hymns, we have to keep moving to give Mr. Wilson plenty of time. But you decided to put those together onto a CD in lockdown number two or whatever it was. Do you want to talk a wee bit about that very quickly?
What, another CD you're talking about?
The first one that you did.
The first one? Mm-hmm. Well, I never dreamt in my wildest dreams I'd ever make a CD. Never. And then when my son brought me down to a fellow that carried Duff to do the first of it, I done 5 pieces one Wednesday with him, and we were to go back. This is going back a long time. I had to go back to do the other pieces, and a phone call came through to my son to say that you need to come back because the machines broke down and the 5 your father done's gone. So what he says, there's a number of a fellow looking Tandragee, but... So I went up to Tandragee, and when I walked into the fella in Tandragee, I knew him from days of old. When I walked in there, and he started up his machines, all these big machines that he had. And you know what it is, it just came to me. And that's how I started to make a CD. I never dreamt I'd ever do it.
Yeah.
But you helped me along the road, like.
I did a wee bit here and there.
You did more than a wee bit.
And it's a lovely little CD, and it's encouraged and blessed many people. But just to wrap up your testimony overall, what would you say has been the most important thing down through the years? What's the thing that has sustained you through? Life always has storms, it has blessings, it has valleys. What's the one thing that has sustained you throughout all?
The Word of God. I'll never be a preacher, I know, but I never thought you'd ever be one there, but not. But you are.
Amen.
Or what? You can always go, if you don't make it, you can always go back to the side of that. I shouldn't do this today. We do this all the time. I've never been in any predicament that the Lord hasn't brought me out of down through the years. McKinnon, to these people cracking, don't be going in, you're having your mask on, you don't be this, don't be that. And they drive me around the bend, so there you are.
So we're going to sing just one more piece before we hand back to the Reverend Wilson. You'll all be relieved.
You would, surely.
You've never had a night like this in Sandown.
Never had a testimony like that before, had you?
But piece number 5, if you go back to there, it is no secret.
This is the piece he used to sing to the boys every Saturday night in the pub.
Times of life, without the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you knew? You may have the love for added strength, your courage to renew. Be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. Conquer you when God is on your side. Take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do.
Robbie and Philip, thank you so much. That does your heart good, doesn't it? And thank you so much for singing, and thank you as well for sharing with us of your life story. 92 almost this year, and still singing and serving the Lord. And that's remarkable. And the Lord bless you, Robbie. Continue to be with you. And I know you'll miss that boy. I know you will. Yeah, yeah. And we'll miss him coming. Yes, yes. Whenever they realize what he's like. No, you can't. But, Philip, you're coming back again before you go. Isn't that right? Yeah. So he's not getting away just yet. But do remember him and Esther and the two boys as they make their plans to move and go to serve the Lord there in Kilrae. And the Lord bless you, the Lord be with you, and we will miss you in Sandown, but you're coming back, and you will be back, that's for sure. I want to welcome you all tonight. Glad to see all who are joining with us here in the church, and to those who are joining as well online through the various broadcasts. We are glad to have you all join with us tonight in the Saviour's name. Let me very quickly go through the announcements before we come to the Word of God, and then Robbie and Philip will come back and sing one more piece at the very end. Tuesday night we have our Explorers Club at 7 o'clock going out on Facebook Live, and then also for our elders and deacons we will have a season of prayer on Zoom on Tuesday evening as well. Wednesday night, as we said this morning, marks the 70th anniversary of the foundation of our denomination, and the first church that was founded in the denomination was the Cross Guard Church, and that there will be a special broadcast coming live from there. The moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong, will be the preacher, and the Reverend Fred Greenfield will be singing. So you can tune in to that broadcast on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock through the Facebook Live Sermon Audio site of Cross Guard Free Church. Thursday night, our discipleship course and prayer meeting. This Thursday night, we're looking at the subject of why we use the authorized version and why we only use the authorized version of Scripture. Next Sunday, services are at the normal times, 11:30 and 6:30. Do remember all those who need our prayers. Please, all those who are well, unwell at this time, some in hospital, and we ask you to remember them at the throne of heavenly grace. We ask you particularly as well tonight to remember Gillian's daddy. Gillian's dad, Sammy, is in hospital, was taken in early this morning. And do remember Sammy very much in your prayers. Took chest pains, although we're hopeful that nothing too serious is coming out of that. But pray for Sammy. Pray as well for Iris and Gillian and all the family. Please be assured of our prayers and tell your daddy that as well. We are turning tonight in the Word of God to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and we are going to look this evening, as the Lord gives us help, at the subject of a glimpse into hell. A glimpse into hell. We're going to read from verse 19. And let's hear the word of the Lord. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and the verse 19. And there we read, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the dip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us, that we would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come in to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We end there at the end of the chapter. We're going to ask you, if you can, just for a moment to stand with us for a word of prayer, just to change your position, and then we come to God's Word. Let's just stand for a word of prayer, if you can, please. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for all that has taken place this evening. We thank the Lord for that day when You saved Robbie Hare. We thank the Lord that You saved him from singing for the world to now singing and serving the Savior. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that salvation brings a change. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, Lord, as we look into this very deep subject, Lord, this terrible subject in many ways, Lord, give us help, we pray. But Lord, most of all, we cry unto Thee for the power of God to be upon those in this meeting and those who are tuning in out of Christ. Lord, that they might realize that they're on their way to this place that we have been reading of this evening. Lord, that they might stop in their tracks. Lord, that You would save them tonight. Lord, that You would snatch sinners as a brand out of the burning and out of the flames of hell. Lord, do this, we pray. Do it for Thy glory. Give us help now to preach. Give us help to hear. And Lord, give grace for the sinner to come and receive Thee. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. How often have you heard the term that death always puts things into perspective? Particularly when somebody dies suddenly and you're not expecting it. And people, when they're talking about the death of that person, they say, well, it always puts things into perspective, doesn't it? And yet, sadly, that perspective seems to only last for a moment of time. Because for many tonight in this world, they believe that there really is nothing after this life. And if there is anything after this life, well, everybody's going to heaven. Paul, writing to the Hebrew believers, penned those words when he said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, tonight, men and women, young people, older people, think they can defy God and deny God all they want, and somehow God will open heaven and just let them in. But Paul is telling us here that there is a judgment. There is a judgment for sin. And you see, tonight, for those who die in their sin and die as they have lived, rejecting Jesus Christ, they will be judged for their sin and they will be cast out into outer darkness. And tonight, folks, whether that's a popular message to preach, it doesn't really matter, because it's the message of God. Oh, people want to hear about heaven, and we love preaching on heaven. My soul was thrilled last summer when we spent those months going through the last chapters of Revelation, thinking about heaven and the splendors that heaven has for those who are saved. But yeah, when you mention hell, oh, no. Don't want to hear about that. I don't believe there's such a place. It's only for the really worst of people, but it's not for me, the upright, the religious. Famous atheist Robert Ingersoll said, I have no respect for any man who preaches on the doctrine of hell. I dislike it, I hate it, I defy it. And isn't that how many people are living today, defying the judgment of God? And yet you can defy it all you want. There will come a time, if you die in your sin, you will be judged. You will be cast out into outer darkness. Whenever we read here about this parable in Luke 16, remember, we're not hearing the words of one of the apostles. We're not hearing the words of some preacher. We're hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I tend to believe that this parable is actually a real story, a true story, a story that the Lord Himself used to illustrate and to bring home the reality and the point about hell. Because we have two main characters in this story. There is the rich man, who had everything this life had to offer. And then there is Lazarus, who had nothing. But you see, while they were different, while they had many differences on earth, the one main difference is that they were going in different directions. And tonight, each one in this meeting, young or old, each one tuning in to this broadcast tonight, we are all traveling somewhere. Lazarus was traveling to heaven. The rich man traveling to hell. And whatever other way you want to break down society tonight, this is where it comes down to. Where are you going? Which direction are you on tonight? Which road are you traveling on? Tonight, for the moments that remain, I want us to get a glimpse into hell. Into that place where ultimately the rich man went. And as we look into hell tonight, I trust for any in this meeting out of Christ that the Lord would take these words and show to you tonight that this is where you're headed. Show to you tonight that this is a real place. And show you tonight that there is a way that you can escape. A glimpse into hell. Very quickly tonight, I want us to see that, first of all, hell is a place of sensation. Hell is a place of sensation. Do you know many tonight will say, well, if there is a hell, well, sure, we'll all be burned and it'll all be over in an instant. No. You look there in verse 23. What's it say? And in hell he lifted up his eyes. He could see. Verse 24, and cried. He could speak. Also verse 24, he could feel pain. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Verse 24 as well, he had desires. He had needs in verse 24. You see, he had the ability to think. He had the ability to express his thoughts. Hell is a place of sensation. Hell is not some sort of place of semi-consciousness. A place where all your senses will be dulled. The sinner will be as alive in hell as they are on earth. Don't believe the lie of the devil when he comes and says to you, well, if there is a hell, you'll be burned and it'll be over in an instant. Not one bit of it. You will be as alive in hell as you are on this earth. You will have your senses even as we have read here. In hell, the sinner will be conscious of every pain and agony, aware of every pang to the body. You see, the rich man didn't believe on earth, but I tell you, he believed in hell. And tonight, hell is full of those who have rejected Christ, but hell is full of those who tonight believe the gospel and believe Christ is the only answer. But for them, it's too late. I wonder, as you sit in this meeting tonight out of Christ, do you really, really believe in this place. How often people would have spoken to the unsaved, spoken about getting right with God, returning from sin and turning to Christ. Someone in this meeting tonight, how often you've been warned, how often you've been told, and yet tonight you're still headed to that place called hell. I've often said through the course of preaching and, of course, pastoral work as well, that it is the duty, sad duty, to sit at the side of those who are passing away from this scene of time. And over the course of these past 7 years, there's been quite a few out of our congregation who have passed away. Thankfully, many passed away in Christ. And it is a blessed thing to sit with those and with the family as someone who is saved and knows where they're going to go out into eternity. But it's an altogether different thing to see someone defying God to the very end and go out into eternity, close their eyes in this scene of time, and go to hell. Oh, that tonight you might realize that there is a place called hell. It's a place of sensation. Not only is it a place of sensation, it's a place of separation. Look at verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Notice it. It's fixed. Can't be moved. Can't be taken away. There's no coming back from hell. There's no return from this place of separation, because the separation in hell is eternal. The rich man was lost, and he was lost forevermore. All the pleasures that he enjoyed on this earth, they were gone. All the luxuries that he had, they were gone. Oh, see, this man on earth, he could have flicked his fingers. He could have had anything he wanted. Yet all that's gone now. And he would do anything to get it back. Look at verse 26 again. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. This man wanted to get out of this place of agony because of the torments that he was under. He wanted to get out of it, but he couldn't. There was no way back. This man on earth could have enjoyed all the beauty of God's creation around him, and yet he would never see the rising of another sun. He would never see the setting of another sun on the western horizon. All those things he took for granted on earth would be no more his portion on hell. And as he is in hell, I believe there's an awful realization upon him now. I could have been in heaven. And tonight, sinner, when you go, if you go to that lost eternity, I believe you will go there and realize, I didn't have to go here, because there's a Savior who loves me. Savior who gave His life for me. One who would have saved me. I rejected it. Separation from all this man had on this earth. But there's a far more greater separation. And hell is the separation from God. Here you are tonight, by God's mercy, and in God's providential plan for your life, here you are. Another gospel meeting. Another time when the invitation will be extended. Another time when God speaks. An invitation will be given to you. And the Spirit of God will strive with you. And yet you go on in your sin and reject Jesus Christ, you will go to that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. No more gospel invitations. No more gospel warnings. This was a place of separation from his fellow man. And a place of separation from God. Oh, that tonight you might realize that while the Spirit of the Lord is striving and while he's calling, that you might come. And even as we thought last week of the obstinate, proud soul who thought he knew better. And you know tonight, every sinner who hears the gospel message, who hears the invitation to be saved, they're saying to God, I know better. Yet there'll come a time when you realize you knew nothing. Here was a man separated. In a place of separation. In hell, there'll be no more churches. In hell, there'll be no more gospel meetings or gospel missions. In hell, there'll not be anybody coming to evangelize you and give you an invitation and tell you you need to get right with God because God's mercy is gone. It's a place of sensation, a place of separation, but finally, it's a place of suffering. Verse 23 talks about torments. Literally means torture. Verse 24 goes on with that thought as well. The end of it says, I am tormented in this flame. He's saying that there's no relief. No relief. You know, sometimes people very, very glibly say, oh, we're having hell on earth. Listen. Whatever sufferings you might be going through now, it's nothing compared to the sufferings of hell. Hell's a place of unquenchable fire. Hell's a place of unquenchable thirst. Hell's a place of unspeakable pain and misery. But I want you to leave you with this thought tonight. Hell is a place of unremitting memory. Look at verse 25. Son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Son, remember. You go out to a lost eternity. You'll remember this gospel meeting. Not because of anything to do with this preacher. But you'll remember how that you were warned. You'll remember every time that somebody told you that they were praying for you. You'll remember every time that somebody pleaded with you to be saved. And remember every time that somebody witnessed to you. You'll remember every time you rejected Christ. And it'll be unrelenting. Mark in his gospel talks about that place where the worm dieth not. And as the worms would cling to the dead body, the worm of your conscience will cling to you day and night. You'll remember it all. Place of suffering. place of separation, place of sensation. What an awful place. Therefore, as we close this meeting tonight, let me ask you the question. And I want you to answer it very honestly tonight. What is it that you're holding on to tonight? What is it that's keeping you back from giving your life to Jesus Christ? Because whatever it's worth and whatever it is, it's not worth going to hell over. Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross, you paid the debt for your sin. He suffered the judgment for your sin. And tonight, if you would but come to Jesus Christ and receive Him and Him alone as your Savior, He will save you. He will rescue you. His blood will redeem you. Save you from hell. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. But what you must do tonight to escape hell is to come to Jesus Christ. Leave your sin behind and get right with God. Prophet Amos, and I think this is the verse that, Philip, you spoke on when you were here at the end of last year. Prepare to meet thy God. Will you prepare tonight? Will you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? You need to be ready. Because if you continue on the way you're going, you will end in a lost eternity. But tonight the Lord offers you forgiveness, pardon from sin. He offers you an assurance tonight. He offers you peace. And He offers you a place in heaven if you will but come. Therefore tonight, what's keeping you back? Who's keeping you back? Tonight, come to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Just before Robbie and Philip come to sing the last piece, I want to say tonight, if you're troubled about your soul, you're anxious, you realize that you're not ready, you realize that tonight if you were to go out from this meeting and go into eternity, you'd go to a lost eternity. You want to get right with God tonight, and you speak with us. Make it known. Don't go away tonight rejecting Jesus Christ. Don't leave it off anymore. But tonight, come. Come and receive the Savior, ere it be too late. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that You will be pleased to bless Thy Word tonight, while it'll come in the weakness of human flesh. Pray, Lord, You'll take all that has been of Thee and apply it by Thy Holy Spirit to the hearts, the conscience, Lord, of the unsaved tonight. Lord, forbid that any should go from this church to a lost hell, but rather that tonight they would come to Jesus Christ. Come and be saved. Come and be ready for heaven. Lord, we thank Thee tonight that You promised to give us eternal life. We thank the Lord tonight that for all those who come, You promised never to turn any away. And Lord, we thank Thee tonight You promised always to be with us and then bring us home to glory. God, we pray, save tonight in this meeting and do it for Your glory. and for your honor alone. Answer prayer. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Philip and Robbie to come and sing for us just one more time. Thank you.
Oh.
I want to thank Robbie and Philip for being with us tonight. And you know, tonight the Lord is here. But he'll not always be here. Tonight his voice is calling, but he'll not always call. Therefore, tonight, while he's calling, don't let him go. Hear, heed, and obey. Come to Christ. Eternal God and our Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for this meeting. And Lord, we now give it to thee. God, do thine own work, we pray. Do that which we cannot do. Save the lost. Bring them to thyself. Lord, we pray that tonight you'll snatch a sinner out of the flames of hell. And Lord, that this night you will set them on their way to glory and to home. Bless us, we pray, as we take our leave of the house of God tonight. Go with us. Lord, may we know thy presence, resting, remaining, abiding upon us. Watch over us, O God, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen.